Charity Clinic. Register at sanjoseclinic.org. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
And welcome to another edition of Technology Bites here on 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Yay, welcome to Technology Bites. This is an odd show. We have a diminished capacity here. Not just the usual diminished capacity of old age, but we're missing a few of our geeks.
Where are they?
Well, one is on top secret, we can't talk about it business, but he did tweet it.
He told us not to talk about it.
He told us not to talk about it on the air. But he tweeted it. So you can go to Twitter and read his feed. Groovehouse is at an undisclosed obligation.
Well, he disclosed it.
Yeah, but he said he was very specific in his email.
Very adamant in the email.
Mention this on the air.
All right.
So we're not. But we'll mention what he mentioned on Twitter on the air. I don't know if that counts or not, but perhaps it does. All right. So, yeah, he's gone. And Barrett is in the land where the toilets flush backwards. He's watching some...
New Jersey?
I don't know about that. I've never watched toilets in New Jersey.
They're fascinating.
Yeah, they're on that show Jersey Shore.
Right.
Hello. Is that us dialing? Or that sounds weird.
That was Peter calling.
Peter calling.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Dwight.
And that's it.
That's the other end. Yeah, Barrett's in Australia where it's like noon tomorrow. Is that how that works?
Something like that.
Yeah, he's threatening to join in on the IRC. We'll see if that happens or not. But so no Barrett time, and Flicted will be scrambling for answering the phones.
So it'll be a good show.
All right. So
don't get mad if you call and I
hang up on you,
yell at you, and cuss about U.S. phone carriers.
Oh, I'm in a bad mood too, by the way.
So what are you upset about?
Man, technology bites in the worst possible way today. I was telling Dwight earlier, I'm going to vent. I got to vent because, you know, I've been working in desktop support role in some capacity, both in my free time here on the radio and in my day job for a long time. And I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things that users can do. And I thought that I could not possibly be surprised. Again, I mean, I've had users run over their laptops, back over it. I've had people, you know, leave laptops in airports. I've had them leave them in cabs. I've had them drop them down the stairs. I mean, I've seen, you know, pretty much everything. And today I was just having one of those spectacularly bad days where there was just enough work to be almost too much to do. But if you really, really pressed yourself, you could get it all done. So I was operating at that, you know, everything's just slightly not quite getting away, but it's, you know, like, you know, you ever dropped like a dollar bill on a windy day and you're trying to step on it?
About like 90% CPU usage.
Yeah.
Like it's working, but there's really not much room.
There's no room for, you know, if you open up one more app, it's going to crash or something like that. So, and then I wrapped it all up and I'd managed to get a handle. I mean, I had this one user that was being really difficult about, you know, getting his equipment to me so I could fix it. And he was like, you know, it was all a big emergency, but I'll be right there. And then an hour later, he didn't show up. And so it was just one of those days. And so I had actually just gotten everything right where it needed to be, right in place. And it was 5 minutes before quitting time, and I was going to leave to come home, you know, and have a nice dinner and watch my new giant TV for a little while and unwind before I come to the show. And my phone rings. And it wasn't somebody, you know, contacting the phone line, you know, calling into the tech support line that we have a queue for. They called me directly. And they called me directly to tell me that they wanted to let me know if I could help them, because they were at the airport getting ready to catch a flight, and they were in the President's Club or whatever where the elite flyers, you know, frequent flyers get to hang out and have adult beverages and snacks and so forth. And they were packing up to go catch their flight, you know, so they closed their laptop, and lo and behold, there was a peanut on the keyboard, and they just shattered the screen.
What kind of notebook was it?
It was a Dell D630, which has the added benefit of having just gone out of its 3-year warranty.
Of course, cracking a screen.
No,
we have
accidental damage. Oh. We've had people. I mean, you think we'd, you know, if you'd have done that 6 months ago, it would have been covered. But no, so, and I was all I could do as I just said, you know, there's really not anything I can do for you. You're about to get on a plane, and I'm about to go home. So, email me and I'll figure it out. And then I hung up the phone and I literally screamed.
Oh, but you had such an opportunity there. It's like you could have started giving them some instructions on things to try. They could have put some more peanuts under there. Tell them, okay, close it a few more times. Now, is there any jelly around?
Yeah, it was just one of those things where being okay.
Just like what? Are you sure this was a peanut or was it maybe a cashew?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. It was a nut of some kind. There was a nut between the chair and the keyboard too, but there was one between the keyboard and the screen. Of course, the conversation went like this too, because like when he called, like, I'm ready to go. I don't have much patience anyway. So like, even if this was like a normal problem, you're still going to get grief. But so he says, you know, I said, well, what model laptop is it? He couldn't find, you know, it's clearly say it's on the D630 up in the upper left-hand corner above the keyboard, Dell Latitude D630. Couldn't find that. I said, and he's like flipping it over and looking at the serial. I can give you the serial. No, I want the model number. He says, okay, I tell you what, never mind that. I'll figure out whether this is under warranty by how long have you had the laptop. She says, I said, how long have you had the laptop? She says, well, ever since I was hired. And I went, well, I said, I haven't memorized everybody's hire date, you know, yet. So could you give me an idea when that was? So it was off to a bad start. And then the whole thing kind of went downhill from there, but I just screamed. And then of course the guy who I'd been struggling to get to come to my desk to bring me his broken laptop that I'd been working on his replacement for all day, He tried to cheer me up. He said, well, first of all, he said, was it my computer that made you scream like that? And I said, no. And then I told him the story. And then he's saying, found a peanut. Thank you for that. And then he asked, he said, do you ever talk about this stuff on the show? And I said, no. I try to forget it before I get to the air, but not tonight. Boy, that is just like peanut. All right, so we're glad you could tune in, and I'm glad that I had this opportunity to vent my frustrations to you.
Do you feel better now?
I do feel better. I hate leaving work in that kind of mood. I really do. It affects my whole day, so thank you. This is like therapy.
That'll be $75. That's what my wife charges. So.
Well, bring your wife over here.
She charges more. A lot more than that. That's what she charges me.
Don't you get it free and all the time?
Yeah, be careful what you ask for. So,
let me give out the vital statistics real quick and let everybody know. Go to geekradio.com if you want to learn more about the show. We also have access to our IRC channel there, IRC Internet Relay Chat. We're in Pound Tech Bytes, or Tech Bytes as Flixie would like to say, on irc.cuckoo.com if you have your own client. But we also have a way to get there via our website. You can also send questions in via the website if you like. And that's all of that. What were you going to say, Dwight?
I was going to say that I also had a day of frustration with the iOS 5 update, trying to download it, install it, running into error messages on my iPhone 4. Takes forever to do
the backup and the restore.
The restore of the apps and the music. And I probably have about 20 gig of music on my phone. But what's really the thing, and if people are thinking about doing it, or if they're doing it tonight, the thing they need to keep in mind, this is different from previous updates, is that when it's done with the primary installation of the software, it doesn't present you with a screen that says sync in progress. It just lets you log into the device. And the restoring of the apps and the music continues with these little thermometer bars that take forever. But you can go in and look around. You could go in when you log in, it'll ask you to set up the iCloud stuff, and then you can actually move around. And I think people are looking at that and thinking, oh, it's done and unplugging.
Well, and with the iPad, since you don't have to eject it, you know, essentially if it's not saying it's syncing, you can just unplug it and go anyways. That's their habit already.
Right. So as long as you see those thermometer bars that says restoring apps, restoring music, and then there's a period where if you have a lot of music, it restores the Genius stuff. When that Genius stuff is done, then you can unplug.
I just paid attention to what it said on iTunes during the update.
This is on iTunes.
Well, I didn't look to my iPad to see if it was done. I looked to iTunes, and it told me restoring apps. Right. And that progress bar.
So you didn't look at that?
I didn't look. I looked at the iPad one time because it rebooted in the app. And I like the way the Apple logo now comes and gets big and then vanishes. That's
right.
Kind of a cool
graphic.
Right. But yeah. Now I completely relied on iTunes to tell me what to do. And I don't know if that's, I guess, not everybody does that.
Well, so, yeah, people are, like, looking
at it. I did notice.
And
I did. I swiped it, unlocked it, and I saw that it was somewhat usable. But I knew, for some reason, it just struck me that until iTunes tells me that, which is the way I always do it anyway. When I plug my iPad in, iTunes fires up. It does the sync. It tells you the sync's complete and tells you it's safe to unhook your device. So as long as there's activity going on in iTunes and it says something about synchronization, I don't touch it. But, you know. Maybe I'm not the norm on that.
Well, I think it was. It surprised me that I didn't see it, and I thought something was wrong. And so I swiped it to see if anything was happening. What was interesting was I looked. I could see my groups for of apps, the folders.
Yeah.
But they were not all full yet, and I realized, oh, it is filling them in, but it's letting me in, which is odd. And so I kind of left it. I let it sit. And then after it was done looking at when it finished restoring the music and videos, I looked at it and there was nothing in the music folders. They were empty. It said no content. But after it did the Genius data, then there was stuff in there. So,
well, my message verification is not going very well. I'm trying to activate iMessage, and it's in, been verifying for 30 minutes. So
There's
still some hang-ups there. But
I haven't even played with iMessage yet.
Yeah, you have to activate it with your account. You have to put in the password to do that. And it's supposed to take off your contacts and let you do that. I guess it's more for the phone, but at any rate. So, yeah, the iPhone, did you you updated both the iPhone and the iPad, right, Pete?
Yeah, yeah. The phone took a long time, and that's when I first noticed the thing. Dwight was talking about the weird deal where it acts, it does its whole reboot thing and acts like it's, you know, acts like it's done, and then it pops up these bars, and, oh, it's adding applications, it's doing this, it's doing that. I guess looking at the phone, because I'm expecting to see some kind of indication on there about what's going on. So then I wondered, was it actually doing it? You know, was there any progress? Because I don't have as much music as Dwight, but I have a fair bit, and the progress bar was moving so incrementally you couldn't tell. But the big one for me is I got the very helpful, there's been an issue, we can't update your iPad. And you could click this button. It had a cancel and a, you know, more information. And the more information popped up a generic Apple support page.
Right, right.
It had a list of like six things you could do. And none of them, I think my guess is the thing that worked is finally I had the iPhone plugged in too because it needed to charge. And I unplugged that and then it worked. So I think it was just getting confused between the devices, but they didn't even have – that wasn't even on their list. What they really wanted me to do was unplug every other USB thing except for the keyboard and mouse and the iPad and do it, and I really wasn't ready to go there. So, but it worked, so I was okay.
Well, I think the excitement was really tied to actually downloading and installing it. So far, it has not wowed me, though they've got it. It's moderately.
Enjoyable. The notifications on the phones look cooler. I'll say that. You know, yeah. That's the one thing I've experienced directly is, you know, where you get a phone call or a text message or whatever. They, at least on my phone, they look cooler and they have a little bit. They seem to have a little bit more useful information in it. Instead of having a separate entry for that you got a call, you missed the call, and then another entry for you got a voicemail, it shows the call, and then it says they left a voicemail as part of sort of the same entry.
Oh.
So it's not a reason to go rush out and put it on your phone, I'll say that, but it does look, it you know, they prettied it up some more.
I think the whole iCloud thing is just makes you want to have more devices. Just a way of getting you to own more iOS devices and Apple devices. All right. Well, we're going to do our regular bit here and go out to San Antonio and let Peter Hughes do the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Take it away, Info Shot.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
All right. Well, fortunately, no beloved or behated, depending on who you're talking about, technology figures have passed on this week. So that's good. This one's an interesting one. The drone program, you know, the flying the drones overseas, the piloting of that happens in Nevada, if you didn't know. And officials at Creech Air Force Base in Nevada knew for 2 weeks that there was a virus infecting the drone cockpits there. But they kept the information about the infection to themselves, leaving the unit that's supposed to serve as the Air Force's cybersecurity specialist in the dark. The network defenders at the 24th Air Force learned of the virus by reading about it in the Danger Room blog on Wired.com. That's harsh. The virus, which records the keystrokes of remote pilots as their drones fly over places like Afghanistan, is now obviously receiving attention at the highest levels. The four-star general who oversees the Air Force networks was briefed on the infection this morning, but for weeks it stayed, and Wired says, if you'll pardon the expression, below the radar, a local problem that local network administrators were determined to fix on their own. Oops. There's no sign that the aircraft or that the virus either damaged any of the systems associated with the remotely piloted aircraft or transmitted sensitive information outside of the military. Although three military insiders cautioned that a full-blown high-level investigation into the virus is only now getting underway. The odd part is this is supposed to be obviously this is not hooked up to some kind of this is not hooked up to the, you know, they're not networked up to share files with a bunch of stuff, so there's a real question about how did it get in. And then the other thing is that is a common issue that we've heard about inside the federal government. Their IT stuff is not not run the same way as it is at most companies. Unlike most big private enterprises, there's not a centralized system for managing and monitoring the networks for that, I guess, division of the Air Force. There's no place at the 24th San Antonio headquarters. Wow, I should have gone down and seen what they said, where someone could see all the digital traffic hurtling through the service's pipes. In fact, most of the major commands within the Air Force don't have formal agreements to carry each other's network traffic. Vince Ross, program manager of the Air Force Electronic Systems Center's Cyber Integration Division, this March said, "We've never managed the entire Air Force network as a single enterprise. That meant there was no centralized management of the network, the systems and hardware weren't standardized, and the top-level commanders didn't have complete situational awareness." That is – that I think that's pretty bad news. You would think that the military would be more monolithic and less I don't know, ad hoc. I think that would be the way to put it, you know, since whichever group wanted to do something would go and, you know, set up their equipment and, you know, you sort of go, where did they procure this stuff? Anyway, so, yeah, so the they got hacked and they didn't even know about it till they read it in the, on the internet. So that's good. But there is some hope if the right people get hacked. The feds think they've nabbed the man who hacked into the personal email accounts of celebrities, including Scarlett Johansson, whose nude pics were then spread out all over the web. His name is Christopher Chaney, and he's from Jacksonville, Florida. He's charged with accessing protected computers without authorization, damaging protected computers without authorization, wiretapping, and aggravated identity theft. According to the indictment, Chaney used several aliases while illegally obtaining personal information of numerous celebrities through a series of computer intrusions. The aliases weren't interesting, so I'm not. One was Jax Jaguars 911, a Nani girl with the two R's, the kind of riot girl thing. Investigators believe that Chaney used publicly available sources to mine for data about his victims, all of whom are associated with the entertainment industry. Once he gained access and control of an email account, he would obtain private information like their emails and file attachments. In addition, investigators believe that Chaney was led to new victims by going to the address books of the ones he'd already gotten. Throughout the 11-month investigation, agents identified over 50 victims whose accounts were illegally accessed. The 26-count indictment details specific instances in which Chaney violated 11 of the victims. Some have violated the privacy, I guess, of 11 of the victims, some of whom are identified by initials only. The ones they put the names out, though, is like Mila Kunis, Christina Aguilera, Scarlett Johansson, Renee Olstead, and then there's the rest of them are initials. J.A., I'll let you guys guess who it could be. BP. Hopefully it's not BP Petroleum. That would be horrible, huh? Clearly there was some value in the intense investigation of the nude Scarlett Johansson pictures, and they led to this guy, apparently. In less amusing news, I don't know how you put it, in outage news, BlackBerry. I thought maybe that was where Jay was going to go when his day was bad. The BlackBerry service outage this week began with a server failure in the UK and spread like wildfire to Africa and the Middle East, and has now gotten to Asia, the US, Canada, and a good portion of South America. It's only the latest BlackBerry service outage for RIM, bringing email, BBM, their messaging thing, and web browsing services to a halt. But with BlackBerry services playing a critical role in real-time business and government communications, any interruption is unacceptable and costly for all. Ouch. So their CTO explained the original cause of the outage, which was that UK server failure, along with a series of failed redundancies, and how that grew into the outage we're experiencing right now. Quote, it's a backlog issue. Clearly, we have a backlog in Europe based on the initial outage and the time it's taken to stabilize that. At this point, we've not throttled the other regions, but as you can imagine, with the global reach of BlackBerry, people using it to contact others around the world, there's a lot of messages coming to Europe from Asia and the Americas, and those would be backed up on the other system. It's looking like over time, that backlog built and started impacting those other systems. In other words, maybe I'm wrong, but doesn't that sound like we're so freaking popular that our system broke? The problem is the easy solution would be to just clear the backlog. You know, basically all that cached up stuff, you just blow it away and restore service. But of course, that would get rid of any undelivered messages. And so they are promising that eventually, however long it takes, you'll get your stuff. You'll get all your messages. So won't that be a treat? I debate, you know, this, I guess this is, I put it under technology news and not new stuff. But this one shows the kind of progress that's happening on electric cars. You know, the biggest obstacle on electric cars at all, besides, you know, getting a hold of one, because there are not lots around. The big downside is, you know, juicing them up. And yeah, it's convenient at home when you have the bill. You know, if you pay for the big charger thing, you can like charge them in 6 hours. So overnight, you know, obviously you can get your car charged up. But if you were like traveling, or, you know, if you go to work and there's not a place to plug it in, Nissan has apparently come up with a charger, or is working on a charger, that can juice up an electric vehicle in just 10 minutes. You know, the times, depending on the vehicle, varies from 8 hours all the way down to 30 minutes. That's to charge a vehicle like the Nissan Leaf to 80% capacity. And the deal with the ultra-fast chargers, the reason that they aren't put in people's homes is because they require huge amounts of electricity. Apparently Nissan and Japan's Kansai University have figured out how to shave the charging time down to just 10 minutes by using a capacitor electrode made of tungsten oxide and vanadium oxide instead of carbon, which is what's used in today's, to improve power. According to the New York Daily News, the 10-minute battery charger doesn't have significant impact on voltage or battery storage capacity. So it's not like they just cranked it up, you know, put more juice on it so that you get this arcing, you know, Tesla coil-looking deal with your car. But, you know, if you think about that one, if you could charge up in 10 minutes, it would make electric cars would be more likely to be useful for long trips without having to have a fuel source to power, say a generator to keep you going. Although that would still suck. It's not like if you went on a long trip in an electric car, if you ran out of juice, it's not like you could go walk to the store and they'd give you a battery that you could carry out. But anyways, that certainly would make it a lot easier if you were low on juice and you could pull in someplace for 10 minutes and come out with a full charge with an electric car, because that's not any different than filling up your regular car. Now some iPhone stuff. If you want an unlocked iPhone 4S, you might be in luck. According to Macworld, both Sprint and Verizon have confirmed that consumers will be able to have the GSM side of their iPhone 4S handsets unlocked. On Wednesday, Sprint announced that it plans to sell all of its iPhone 4S units with the micro SIM slot unlocked, while Verizon's will be locked initially, but can be unlocked if the customers are in good standing for 60 days. I don't know why. Are you going to be good for the 60 days? The latter has been Verizon's policy for all world phones, according to the report. So the change may make it more affordable for iPhone users with Sprint or Verizon contracts to use their devices when abroad than those on AT&T, since AT&T's units will arrive locked, forcing users to pay AT&T's international roaming fees, while Sprint or Verizon iPhone 4S users can simply pop in a new micro SIM from a local carrier, kind of like, you know, you've heard Jay describe it, how he can do it with getting a SIM when he's overseas for his Android phone. So it looks like partway. So if you're going to be an international traveler, now that flips the advice on its head. In the past, we've told people that they could that the AT&T iPhone that was more compatible with the networks overseas, and now with the world version iPhone 4S, well, and that the AT&T was more compatible, so not a good idea to get the Verizon one if you were going to go overseas with it. Now it sounds like, at least if you're going more than 60 days from now, that you may be better off with a Verizon or Sprint than you would with AT&T. So just keeping that one in front of you. For all our international travelers, that doesn't help Barrett. But then again, I'm guessing he either bought an iPhone 4 like a week ago, knowing his luck, or he's going to wait. This is an interesting rumor about iPads. Supposedly, according to DigiTimes, Apple has apparently recently been pushed into switching who supplies the batteries for the iPad 2. They moved some of its orders from Simplo to Dynapack at the end of September after the Eastern China plant of Simplo produced some leak-prone lithium polymer packs, according to the story. Apple's use of safer lithium polymer batteries kept them from having fires, but the recharging problems were enough to require better batteries. Normally Simplo, you know, I know this is vendor stuff, which is sort of boring. Normally they'd supply about 60% of iPad 2 batteries, with Dynapack doing the rest, and now it's gone towards more mutual. It hasn't been independently confirmed. Both Dynapack and Simplo are widely known as Apple's battery suppliers, and Simplo handles the batteries for the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro. So on the plus side, you know, the bad side is that there were apparently some bad batteries that got out. Hopefully that means they've been caught and that's not a problem. And the good news, hopefully they've got somebody better to, you know, that they've fixed the ratios so that they're not getting crappy batteries for iPads, especially as we go into the holidays when they're going to be putting a lot more, obviously they're going to be producing and selling a lot more iPads, I would guess, just like anything else. And finally, on the new stuff, the MacBook Air competitor, the Asus ZenBook, the ultra-thin PC, you know, that Intel likes to call ultrabooks. Let's see, Asus is coming out with theirs called ZenBooks, which will go on sale tomorrow, October 12th, or is today October 12th? Today's October 12th. They went on sale today. I'm sorry, this article was posted last night. Went on sale today, starting at about $1,000 for the 11.6-inch one and $1,099 for the 13.3-inch one. That's $100 more than the Aspire S3, than Acer's Aspire S3 Ultrabook. But then again, that one has a hard drive with a small flash drive. Let's see. They weigh in at about the small one, the 11 inches, 2.4 pounds. The bigger one's 2.9 pounds. And they have glass track pads and all metal keyboards. And they look really pretty cool. Other specs. I've got 4 gigs of RAM, USB 3.0, Bluetooth 4.0, a SATA 3 SSD starting at 128 gigs. Stereo speakers with Bang & Olufsen's Ice Power technology. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. Ultra-low voltage Core i5 and i7 processors, and a 2-second resume time. Basically the same claim Acer's making with the Aspire S3. The battery life, the 11-inch is rated for 5 hours of runtime or 7 days, while the 13-inch lasts 7 hours in use and 10 days on a charge. And they come with a free sleeve, so there's that too. If you want to go to the highest end one, it's about $1,500 and has 256 gigs of storage. And so they're out there. This is one of those things just to point out. Part of why Apple's been successful, a lot more successful in recent years, is that they've cut their pricing down to pretty tight. So these brand new, using the latest technologies, subsidized by Intel, where Intel really wants to get this out there, and Apple's been doing this. The Air has been out for a while, and the specs compare pretty favorably with what you get on these. There may be a couple things that are newer on the ZenBook and the UltraBooks, but the price is essentially the same. There's not the Apple tax, at least in these types of devices, doesn't seem to exist anymore. And it's kind of fascinating to see that as it happened. It used to be that there was that, some hundreds of dollars that you could point to as a difference, that you paid more for Apple. And now that really doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And that's the news.
All right. Well, you have to do a correction on the iPhone 4S story because the...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sprint has announced that they are not offering the phone unlocked.
Yeah, Ars Technica had essentially corrected the Macworld article earlier today.
Although there's some conflicting data from Sprint that says, where one person from Sprint said that the SIM card was not even accessible on their phone, and then they turned around and said that it is accessible and you can remove it, but you can't. It's not coming unlocked. So only Verizon right now is offering to unlock after a certain period of time.
Yeah, so evidently, by default, the CDMA carriers, which are Verizon and Sprint, will have a micro SIM card in the phone when you buy it, but it's tied to their company. So when you go outside of a CDMA network, it can flip over to GSM, but it will be basically you will pay roaming charges because you're not using their CDMA network. The Macworld article came out, but then Ars Technica countered it.
Yeah.
So Verizon, although some Verizon people have asked, and Verizon people have said no. Someone said they don't unlock phones, which is a lie. World phones.
Well, no, because Verizon themselves tweeted back at me a link to how to get the unlock code for your iPhone 4S.
So right, but some of their employees have said
no,
we don't even do it. And other ones said, well, we do it, but we're not going to do it for the iPhone. So that's still a lot of uncertainty. But Sprint has evidently, somebody in Sprint came out and said, no, we're not going to unlock the GSM side at all, ever. But even the Verizon side, when they unlock the GSM, evidently the type of unlock they will do will only unlock international GSM. I don't know how you do that. I don't code on phones. But evidently, from what they're saying, is that you will not be able to, for example, put a T-Mobile or AT&T SIM card into a GSM unlocked Verizon phone and use it on AT&T or T-Mobile in the U.S. You will only be able to put SIM cards from international carriers and use it in international locations.
Although it's odd because there's a company called iPhone Trip that claims that you can rent a SIM card from them that will work overseas on a locked iPhone.
While I was reading all this stuff and getting more and more annoyed, because I thought with this World Phone, One Phone thing, it really would mean that, and the carriers have sliced and diced that all to the nether realms.
To hell? I think you'd say hell.
So nether realms. I read somebody who said for years now they're an international traveler and they've taken a phone, the AT&T iPhone that's locked, gone to another country, got a SIM card or micro SIM card or SIM card depending on the phone,
right,
put it in the phone, the locked phone, and then hooked it in and gone through the iTunes store for local to that country and like registered it through iTunes and it would work.
I've seen people, when I traveled overseas, I saw somebody buying a SIM card for their iPad. so the micro SIM. So I think that's probably true that it
would. The iPads, I don't know if they're locked the same way or not. I don't know about that. I've never looked at the iPad.
Well, the Verizon one doesn't even have a SIM card, so.
But the other thing is, for years now, other countries have, if you buy your phone, they will unlock it. Like, a lot of them, by law, are required. Even if you buy the phone and it's locked, they're required either once your contract's up, or in some countries, if you contact the carrier, they're required by law to unlock your phone. And it's actually done through iTunes. Basically, the carriers send something either to AT&T or into the iTunes system, and when you hook your phone up, it actually comes back with a screen in iTunes that says, "Congratulations, your phone is now unlocked." So it's a capability that exists. Right. Other countries do it. AT&T claimed it wasn't possible.
But apparently, none of the telcos can get their story straight on what's possible.
I don't know. I was reading a lot of stuff about it today because when I saw that and thought about it, I was like, you know, this might actually be an opportunity to get an unlocked phone on a local plan but still be able to use it internationally, because AT&T will never unlock an iPhone ever.
Right. Well, it used to ever. It was said that Apple and AT&T would never do it any reason.
But that's a lie, because they do it in other countries through iTunes. And so Apple blamed AT&T, AT&T blamed Apple.
But you can unlock an iPhone fairly easily in illicit ways, and that's And that is not as, as dangerous to do as jailbreaking. Jailbreaking, you know, can cause other issues. So if I found it necessary, I wouldn't be that hesitant to unlock it if that's what you need.
Now, I guess that gives you the ability to make, get a local number and make phone calls, mm-hmm. which would be a benefit.
Basically, you don't have to pay any of the international rates of whoever your U.S. carrier is.
If you have anybody to call while you're in country. But I've been looking at another option for travel, which is mobile hotspots, which are not locked. You could conceivably buy a hotspot and then tether via Wi-Fi to it. Now, there are companies that rent those as well, but I'm thinking that you could probably buy a hotspot of some kind, put the SIM card in. I just don't know how easy they are to configure. If there's a way, if they just pick up the SIM card and go online, or if they have to be tethered to a laptop and configured to work, I don't know the answer to that. But you can buy MiFis that don't have a SIM card for any carrier, and you could buy them and then get a SIM card and use it as a hotspot. And I wonder if that gets around the tethering rule of, say, the telcos. I wonder if you could, if you could buy one of these, Best Buy or Micro Center Wi-Fi hotspots, 3G hotspots, and put in your card there and use it as a hotspot. That I don't know the answer to. These are the kind of questions that not a lot of people seem to be asking.
Well, seeing this thing is, there's conflicting reports. The phones haven't actually come out yet. Nobody's got them in their hands and started trying to do it.
Right.
So that some of the rules haven't trickled down to the point where people actually know them. But somebody was saying that on the chipsets that are in the iPhones, the CDMA piece is flashed like firmware. And depending on how it's done, it can be firmware that's specific to a carrier. So, but they said that flashing process is about a 10-second process. But if your phone's flashed for firmware that works with Verizon, then you can't take that iPhone and say you want to be on Sprint.
Right.
Unless they reflash the firmware. It's just stupid.
It is.
What even annoys me more is that, in other countries the rates are cheaper, but you have to buy your phone outright. In the U.S., you pay a higher monthly rate because you're subsidizing a phone. But if you bring a phone and you don't need one, and you just say, "Give me a SIM card," that's more likely to them to do it. "Give me a SIM card." You still pay the same rate as if you were under contract. So, it doesn't benefit you, except you can leave whenever you want to. because you're paying more than you should, and you're not even getting a phone subsidy out of it.
Right.
It's really stupid.
So you're saying that if you go to a carrier and you say, I'm going to sign up for a two-year contract, I should be able to get a lower monthly rate if I bring my own phone because I'm not subsidizing a phone.
Or even if you're not under contract, even if you're just your standard monthly rate. Because when you sign the contract, they're basically taking a loss on a phone, in at least in certain instances. Some of them probably aren't, but there's a lot of phones where they're taking a loss on the phone by giving you the phone because they know they're going to make it up over the 2 years, you know, in profit.
So this is like,
so if you don't get the phone and you're not in contract, you still pay the same monthly rate as somebody who's paying to have a phone subsidized.
I'm thinking we should all go. We should meet up and occupy AT&T.
I think it's going to happen Friday.
Yeah, this Friday.
The Occupy AT&T movement. All right, let's get out the phone number. It's 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we have an hour and 15 minutes of programming left tonight. So if you want to be on the air, this is a good opportunity. Next week, we start the fundraiser. So you can...
What?
When? What? What? Wait, what?
Fundraiser.
When?
October 15th or whatever. Let's see. What's that?
That came up.
Yeah.
Like a thief in the night.
It came zooming up like a bug on a windshield. It's, yeah.
Is it one of those six-month fundraisers?
It's one of those, it's one of those long ones, man. I think it's like 3 weeks that we have to fundraise. So, you know, we'll be losing a lot of you.
It's the falling down fundraiser.
It's the Begathon. Yeah, so I believe that starts next Wednesday. So if you want to be on the air and have fun in a non-fundraising
environment.
Is that RSS button new in the Safari there?
No.
That's been there? I just hadn't noticed it?
Yeah, I don't use Safari, so I don't.
What do you use, Chrome?
I'm a Chromium.
Chrome boy?
I'm a Chrome boy, exactly.
Chrome boy. So, 713-526-5738, if you want to be on the air with us tonight.
And you do.
You do, of course. You want to talk about all your iOS 5 joy. Let's see, I'm trying to bring up my email from promoting fundraiser. Da, 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 da. October 15th, yep. Fall membership drive, pitch goals and schedules. Display images below. Download the PDF. Yippee! So yeah, this will be a. We'll get, hopefully, you know, Barrett and Groovehouse just kind of, you know, they chumped themselves if they took tonight off, and they're coming back next week. Of course, they could probably.
Well, Barrett won't be back next week, will he? Is he back next week?
Is he gone for 2 weeks?
I think he said 2 weeks.
Yeah, he is, because he's gone for my birthday party.
But he didn't know that it's a fundraiser, so you can't say that he went to Australia to escape a fundraiser. Because I didn't know.
I had absolutely no idea.
I had no idea at all.
No idea at all. All right, yeah, so our first one will be Wednesday, October the 19th.
Oh, so it's not next week.
It is next week.
The next. Oh, that's right.
The
12th. Yeah, yeah.
Today's 12th.
October is just.
Add 7, oh, 19.
Man. October is just flying
they suck.
By. Yeah.
All right. Well, but for now, because I vented earlier. Oh, and yeah, Pete, the BlackBerry thing, that was adding to my woe. And, you know, the whole stressed out day kind of leading up to me, to the peanut. Yeah. Because BlackBerry was down and it was. We had to issue a bulletin to tell our users.
Right. It's coming up, by the way. Engadget has a piece says that BlackBerry says they've restored service, and their servers are coming back up. So, hopefully by morning all will be well.
La di da. It was kind of ironic or poignant that the outage was going on during all the buzz about iOS 5. And
I did a blog post about iOS 5 being out, along with the Lion update that supports iCloud. And then when the issue started coming up, I updated that post, and there was a great tweet from somebody who said, for all of you iPhone users mocking the BlackBerry users today, enjoy your error number 3200, which was the error that kept popping up for a lot of people when they were trying to install.
All right, Flicked. We have a. Oh, I guess I could just do it here. I just save him the hassle, and say, Jason, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, just one quick question, guys. What do y'all think about the Razer Blade, which is the
new laptop by Razer? The Razer Blade. It's a new phone.
Mice and keyboards.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Excuse me.
Repeat that, please. Can you hear us? Okay, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So the Razer Blade, what did you want to know about? I interrupted you, and then we couldn't hear what you were saying.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What do y'all think about the Razer Blade, the ultra-portable 17-inch laptop?
It's a gaming laptop, right?
Right.
Yeah, Razer is touting this as the world's first true gaming laptop, which I guess that means they've never heard of... of a little company called Alienware, I think, that has been selling
right.
gaming laptops for a while. It looks pretty slick. It uses a keyboard that's designed specifically for gaming with a capacitive touch screen. And certainly it's good if you're a right-hander. I don't see a left-handed version.
Right.
But I don't know anything. I haven't tried it. I don't know anything about it. It looks cool. Razer is not necessarily... They've made peripherals... And is this their first laptop?
Yeah, it is.
I would be a little hesitant about version 1.0 from a company that's never made them
what
before.
What is the benefit? As a non-gamer, I ask this question. What is the benefit of having a gaming laptop as opposed to putting your money into hardware at a fixed location? I mean, is there much of a call to want to reduce your footprint and move around?
Land parties.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Those yep. still happen?
And yes. And this looks fairly cool. It's a fairly cool looking device.
Are you still there, Jason? Nope, I guess he hung up. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know about the device itself. The flash or the animation on the website for RazerZone.com, the Blade, looks pretty cool. But I don't know. Gaming on a laptop? I'm more interested in, and now that I have my new giant TV, I'm more interested in gaming.
But as console gaming.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what gaming laptops is also console gaming?
No. It's PC gaming.
PC gaming.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. An Xbox is a console, is a PC.
Right.
Or I could game on a PC if I had the PC connected to the screen. Instead of buying an Xbox, I could get a wireless keyboard or controls. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is when you're... on a screen that big and you're kind of working a keyboard, and I think it would be a little disorienting. It's this because a big screen is like this, whereas a smaller screen you lean in, and I'm not sure that that it would be as good an experience. I think that the console works better for that kind of
thing. I see what you're saying. So where you just have the control and you're free and clear to navigate without being tied to a keyboard.
I personally prefer PC gaming. I'm 55 years old, so I'm an old farty fart fart, and I much prefer PC gaming. I love to play Quake and Doom, and I play those on the consoles and first person shooter on the console. I'm completely lame at them, but I'm not quite as lame, but still lame on the PC.
I like strategy games like Risk, you know, but even on a grander scale in the computer world, but. First-person shooters and real-time stuff kills me. I just don't have the response time.
You know, id has released its latest first-person shooter. Id is a company that had done Doom and Quake and so Wolfenstein and so forth. And it's called Rage, and it's kind of a combination of a role-playing game and a first-person shooter, mostly first-person shooter. Graphics look awesome. Looks like it's a lot of fun. Great monsters, wonderful weapons. It's the first time that a new id game is out that I just don't have the, I don't burn to buy it. Not at $60 anyway. So, yeah, it's $60.
This is kind of unrelated, but have y'all watched the Walking Dead YouTube 6-episode series?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's a couple, 2 to 5 minutes apiece. There's six of them. It's okay. It's kind of cool, though, because it basically gives you the backstory for one of the zombies that's in the first episode, maybe the first and second episode. of the original one that's like a notable zombie that you will remember.
Was it a spoiler to say?
No, it's just kind of cool to not know.
So
there's only been one season of Walking Dead,
the
right?
The next one starts Sunday.
Right, yeah, I know. I mean, I know the
That's
new
why
season.
You should watch this the online stuff now.
I can watch that on my TV because I have Netflix on the TV. And YouTube. I mean, the YouTube.
Yeah, it's YouTube. Yeah. It's on YouTube.
Well, you know, and speaking of watching stuff, I'm now watching Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the first two seasons of that, but I haven't watched any of the third season.
Yeah, the first two seasons are on Netflix. I don't think the third season is.
It's not. I checked.
Yeah. But I go ahead and answer that phone. 713-526-5738. We're just having kind of a free-form casual thing here, but we're going to have to break here in just a bit because the top of the hour is coming up.
And then we have to do Barrett time.
Or not.
You can do Barrett time.
Yeah, I'm just not that clever. He's a clever boy.
Uh-oh.
That was it.
They hung up on me.
You're watching the time, right?
No.
Okay.
We don't have really have much of anything, so I don't know what you want to do.
Play whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I've got... Show me to pick something.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got one, but we usually play two, so I'll pick a random one.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, if you want to be on the air, though, we are going ahead and screening calls for the second hour of Technology Bites, 713-526-5738. If you're listening outside of the Houston area, outside of the Houston, or the CST or the Central Standard Time, then we change it. We call it CST when it's Standard Time, and then CDT when
CDT, when
it's Daylight Savings Time.
CDT.
So you have to track that. Are we in CDT now?
We're in CDT.
So... 8 p.m. CDT, so on Wednesday night. So if you're listening to this any other time or day, actually almost 9 o'clock.
When does CST come back?
I guess in November, October.
The end of November.
October, end of October.
I think it's end of October, beginning of November.
Yeah, last weekend in October, I believe.
Okay. And CSI is already back.
And it's getting worse. It's like now it's Cheers.
It's Cheers. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah,
I haven't watched it either. But I think it would be totally great if Kelsey Grammer shows up as a psycho.
Oh, they'll do it. They'll do that. They'll do
that.
Wouldn't
that be great? Or have the mailman? All right. So 713-526-573. All the lines are open. By the way, it's kind of
we have one call.
Yeah, one call. But we've been kind of prattling about, you know.
Yeah, but we gave out the number.
I know. People don't love us anymore. They're just, you know what? This will really irk Jay if we don't call. Because it's really, you know.
I think people are either trying to get their BlackBerries working again or they're trying to install iOS 5. And so they're just.
They're all distracted.
They're all distracted and pissed off.
713-526-5738. Is your clock say 5731, 32? Okay, so we're synchronized.
It's here. Atomic.
It's atomic. That's right, they are atomic, aren't they? I don't think so.
I think
they're synced to atomic.
Do you think so?
I think so.
All right. Well, we're going to get ready to get out of here and take a quick break. We'll be right back after some short messages. You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I am Flicted.
I'm Dwight. And that's it.
I am the voice of Pacifica Radio.
Ana Sot Radio Pacifica al KPFT 90.1 FM for Houston.
Unasikiza tisini nukta moja FM KPFT Houston.
Yawaz hai Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Oh hi Pacifica Toy kissing
scene. Chaliye, aaj hum sab mil karke is dharti pe shanti ke liye prarthna kare.
Chúng tôi muốn nói lên sự thật cho giới lãnh đạo được biết. Chúng tôi là Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
一同向和平進發, 我們是侯司長的 Pacifica KPFT 90.1 FM 90.1.
Mimi ni Pacifica, uhuru wa mazungumzo kwa watu walio huru.
Hum taqat ke samne bhi sachai se bolte hain. Hum hai Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Let's all get together and pray for the peace on earth.
من غير العدالة مش ممكن يوجد السلام.
Hi, I'm Sonny Boy Terry. Please join me, the Houston Blues Society, KPFT, and the largest collection of Houston blues artists all on one stage for Shakespeare Pub's 21st Annual Blues for Food Festival to be held on Sunday, November the 13th. Admission is any non-perishable food items or cash. Those who donate get a ticket for a free plate of genuine Texas barbecue, and all proceeds benefit the Houston Food Bank. Live blues kicks off at 1 p.m. sharp with the Mighty Orc. Music goes all day till 2 a.m. with a plethora of legends and up-and-comers, over 12 acts, including Miss Trudy Lynn, Texas Johnny Brown, Holland K. Smith, the Aaron James Band, Sonny Boy Terry Band, and others. Also, this year, KPFT is providing a drop-off point for non-perishable food items here at KPFT Studios at 419 Lovett Boulevard from now until November 13th. For more information, please visit HoustonBluesSociety.org. Thank you again for your support.
And we're back.
All right, so back for more Technology Bites. And it looks like we have a call coming in. I can't. Is that one on hold? No, he doesn't have it on hold yet. 713-526-5738 if you would like to be on the air with us tonight. We got a Barrett-free hour ahead of us.
Which is why you're not hearing Barrett time now.
Yeah, Barrett's in Australia.
He may be doing Barrett time in Australia. We just don't know.
He's not on IRC, the bum. He threatened that he might show up. You know, it's like noon, I guess 1 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow there or something.
He's probably enjoying some...
That's just not acceptable.
You don't think enjoying the happy times in Australia is acceptable?
Oh, he's laying on a beach with a massive Foster's in one hand.
I think he's got off on a boat to go dive in one of the Great Barrier Reef area. So the last I saw in his Facebook updates. But I think it's great. I'm a big fan of like getting the hell out of this country and traveling somewhere. Of course. I love it. And I'm just jealous that it's not me, you know, with his wife Amanda in Australia, I guess.
It's been a while since you've gotten out. Are you getting withdrawal? Is that part of it?
It is. You know, I was really hoping we were going to go to Austria and Germany for Christmas, but one of my one and only coworker resigned, and we haven't gotten a replacement yet. And it's been a little slow to get going, and there's just no way I can get him trained up to do the whole thing by himself while I'm gone for a few weeks. So we canceled that trip. I mean, fortunately, I hadn't booked the flight or done any of that.
And you put all that money into your new TV.
I bought it on the 3-year finance plan through Fry's. I did the same thing with my iPad. I paid it off, you know, within a month or so, but. I'll probably do the same thing with a TV, but if I want to, I can stretch that agony out over 3 years of regular payments. But no, I did notice that I really felt like, you know, because the work has doubled up and I really want to take a vacation and I've got vacation that I have to take, but I'm just postponing it. So we're going to go, hopefully if all goes well, we're going to go to Italy in the March, April time frame. With possibly going over to Croatia while we're there.
All right.
So that could be interesting.
Well, now we have some calls.
713-526-5738 if you want to get in the queue behind these good folks. But we are going to go ahead and take a call. And I like the way Flick just leaves it to me, so I'll just handle it. And that would be Ken. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes. I wanted to ask you a question about an old technology, Windows XP Home Edition, running Service Pack 2.
That is old technology.
Backup, what do you do when you lose Windows access to the operating system and the only option left is the recovery with the original boot disk, boot CD?
What do you mean you lose access to the
operating? Oh, boy, I only got you half volume or less.
All right, what do you mean when you say you only get you lost access to the operating system?
Okay, the many, many times I've lost the operating system totally for one reason or another. One was trying to download a Roxio CD burner update, and it bombed me off the operating system totally. So I tried using a boot from my original Windows XP Home Edition supplied CD, and it came up with giving me the option of using Recovery, and which I tried, and never got my operating system back without totally reformatting the hard drive and reloading the operating system.
That's if Recovery won't work, that's what you have to do.
Although there's one other option that you have.
Okay.
If you have the XP install CD, you can do an in-place upgrade. It's basically the JLE maneuver for XP, which will allow you to reinstall Windows XP on top of the existing install, and it won't erase your hard drive. It'll basically reconstitute the operating system.
So then I have a dual operating system boot.
No, you still have this. It's just one operating system. It looks at the existing XP install and basically installs XP right on top of that. Your apps all stay in place. All your data stays in place. Your user profile stays in place. You may have to go back in behind that and reinstall your applications to make them function, but you don't lose your data, provided that whatever caused the problem in the first place doesn't cause your data, cause other data corruption.
Okay.
Now, the question I have for you is, if you've got a computer that's running XP Service Pack 2, I'm assuming it's got to be rather old, right? Or did
it
you?
It's a 2002 model,
yeah.
Dell computer, and I've had problems with it trying to keep the operating system. Every time I've downloaded the Service Pack 3, I have multiple problems, so I'm sticking with Service Pack 2 at this time.
Why are you sticking with a computer that is 9 years old, almost 10?
It's more based on economical problems right now. I'd rather move to a late model Macintosh, but that's a prohibitive price.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, but for, you know, the amount of effort that you're going through with the system crashes and the limitations of the system, that even, you know, getting a 5-year-old used Windows, you know, a computer that's capable of running Windows 7 or something like that, 3 to 5 years old, probably wouldn't be that expensive and might get you out of this kind of cycle of awful with this 2002
piece. Well, I've got a pretty fair microprocessor. It's a 1.6 gigahertz microprocessor with 1 gig of memory. So that's not too bad to my standards.
How much drive space are we talking about?
80 gigabytes.
You might want to even consider, you know, maybe just if you're not willing to or ready to upgrade the whole computer at this time, it might be beneficial to consider upgrading the hard drive if you're getting these data problems. But is it an Intel or AMD?
It's an Intel. What is it? Intel.
Okay, I just was more curious if it was just Intel or AMD, because I know that there were some AMD computers that were having trouble with Service Pack 3. What kind of problems are you getting when you install that?
I wind up getting into the reboot, back to the Dell blue screen, then I get the Windows logo, then the blue Dell screen, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
You get stuck in an endless...
It's stuck in a loop.
Yeah. You know what you, you may have an AMD processor, because that sounds like some
okay.
of the issues with the AMD.
It really
processor.
Does sound like the AMD
yeah.
issue with Service Pack 3.
Okay.
And I don't remember if that might have been addressed with a BIOS update from Dell. Have you updated the BIOS on this thing? Have you gone to the Dell site and updated those drivers and such?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, since 2002, I always had some drivers on my device manager that had a yellow question mark beside them, and as of 2 days ago, I finally got them all updated to the satisfaction of the hardware.
Now, if you're concerned with, you know, when you have these crashes and restoring your system, have you considered just backing up, making a backup of your system when it's in a full functioning state, so you have kind of a baseline to go back to? Should you, and, you know, you can also back up your data as you create it. That's kind of what that process is designed for.
I'm a little raw on how much of my hard drive apps and whatnot to back up.
Well, if you could do it a couple of different ways. I mean, if you had an external hard drive that was, say, a couple hundred gig, you could easily back up the entire system and then do incremental backups to back up any changes.
I could always put a slave drive in there of about 20 gigs.
Well, 20 gigs not going to back up the whole thing if you're using...
Right now, I'm up to about 10 or 11 gigs used.
I mean, I don't even know if you could find a 20-gig hard drive.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a 20, which I started out with. Then I went to a 40, and now I'm up to an 80.
Wow. Living large.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm on Social Security, so I got to micromanage my money.
Right, I understand. Yeah, I mean, putting in a secondary drive and then using a mirroring software to, like, just, you know, create a backup of the entire system, and that way if you do have a failure, you can restore it back to the way it was. I mean, with two drives in line, you should be able to restore pretty quickly.
I've had a lot of problem with any kind of try to restore with Windows XP Home Edition. Now, I do have an old computer that does have XP Pro on it, running 166 megahertz processor. It's a real dog.
I can imagine.
But it operates XP Pro. And it's got the ASR backup, which is much superior.
Well, you can also look at a second, you know, a third-party program like, I just drew a total blank, Acronis, or something like that to do your backups.
Acronis?
Yeah.
Okay. Right now, I'm using EUsing Registry Cleaner, which does a backup.
It does a backup of the registry or of the whole system?
Of the registry, I believe.
Yeah, that doesn't help you much.
Okay, but it works fine for cleaning my registry.
Well, if you believe in that sort of thing, that's great. I'm not a big fan of registry cleaners myself, but...
They're mostly snake oil.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you can scan any system with a registry cleaner, it'll report hundreds of errors every time, no matter what.
Okay.
But what we're talking about, I mean, going back to your original question, is like if your system craters on you, you need a way to get back easily.
Yes.
So backing up your system is the way to do that.
Okay.
And also not, you know, especially if you're trying to rely on older hardware, because that computer is technically it's either at the end of or past its useful service life.
Yeah, actually, my first computer, the power supply went out and burned up my motherboard, and my neighbor of mine sold me an identical Dell Dimension 4400, which is what I've just got running right. So I'm pretty familiar with it, and I've had a lot of trouble trying to get Dell downloads. I've had to go through 10 or 15 before I got the right download. So now I've finally got the apps for my devices that are all clear. Now I'd like to do a real good backup, and if I'm secure in getting my backup, like maybe getting an external website to back it up, I'd like to upgrade to Service Pack 3, then I can get the Microsoft Security Essentials antivirus and anti-spam and all that for free.
Well, it sounds like something you might go for. I mean, Acronis has online backup ability.
Okay.
So, but, you know, the problem, what I'm thinking that might, you know, if you're talking about doing an online backup, then your restore process is a little bit more complex.
Okay.
Because, you know, you take a computer that's completely cratered.
Okay, so right now, if I have a bomb out, I don't go for recovery, I go for reinstall.
Yeah, if you have a bomb out, you take your backups, you boot up from your recovery disk, and you use that to restore your data back. So, like, if you use a tool like Acronis or one of these backup softwares, they give you the ability to, like, make a recovery disk.
Okay.
That you use to boot up, to get the computer up and running, that can then look to your external hard drive, where you have your backup stored, and take all that data and pull it back over and just write it back to your hard drive, and you're right back to where you start, you know, where you left off.
Right.
But if you use a tool, like if you use an online backup, it doesn't necessarily take a snapshot of your entire system. It takes a snapshot of your data. So you're still responsible for having to reinstall your operating system and your applications and so forth, and it just goes out and gets your documents and all of that stuff that you backed up. You need to turn your radio down, sir. Listen, anyway, that's really all the advice I can give you right now. We do have some other calls in the queue.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, good luck, sir.
That might have been the Tigers-Rangers game.
No, it was me. I could tell. I know my own voice.
Sounded like an announcer.
No, it sounded like me.
You don't know that when you're not in the studio, Jay sounds like he's an announcer. It's going. It's going. It's gone.
You kind of sound like an announcer now.
Well, that was kind of on purpose.
I know, but it was good. I'm just saying. You know, you maybe missed your calling.
Yeah.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Mike McGuff or something. All right, so...
I'm the no-tech Texan.
It's the hate show. We hate that. All right, so let me see. By the length of the holding, it looks like poor Sean here. Hey, Sean, you've been holding for a while. You're welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, fellas. It's the first time I've tuned in, but I couldn't resist to give a call. I just want to throw a topic out there and hear y'all's reply on it. Essentially, what happened is that I'm a PC man. I've always worked on an HP laptop, et cetera. I know my way around. I'm familiar with them. And I was given a Mac a couple months ago. It's a 2008 laptop. It was my uncle's big into Macintosh and everything. So he upgraded and wanted to give me his, I guess, as a means to convert me or something. So I've been fiddling around this thing, and granted, it's like the sports car of computers. It's sleek, it looks cool, but I don't really like it as much as a PC, and I was just kind of wondering what the pros and cons were. I wanted to hear y'all's opinion on it.
2008, would that make that an Intel-based one still?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All Intel right. started in 2005.
Okay.
It does move kind of slow, in my opinion. He told me he upgraded the memory on it before he gave me, but
well, if he gave you his leavings in terms of a computer, then
wipe the operating system? Did he give you a fresh copy of the operating system, or did it have all his stuff?
He upgraded everything.
No, but did he wipe it clean and give it a fresh install?
I'm pretty sure he did because he's into all that sort of stuff.
And, well, we're pretty sure versus knowing for sure because you know if you've used Windows for any length of time and you're comfortable with that, you know that an operating system or a computer will slow down over time as the software just kind of deteriorates from installing programs and removing programs and so forth. Wow. Same thing happens with the Apple iOS. 2008, it's not going to be that robust of a machine, comparatively speaking.
Is it a MacBook or a MacBook Pro?
I don't really know.
Is it black or white, or is it silver?
No, it's white. It's all white.
It's white. That's a MacBook.
So it's not a Pro.
Right. That's a consumer. It's a lower performing machine.
Now,
okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So, you know, you have the option, you could conceivably install Windows on it if you wanted to.
Yeah, he did mention that and all that. But right now I'm just at the point I'm just kind of fiddling around with it. I use it more to really kind of watch YouTube than anything else. I can really do work on my HP and get things done faster because that's what I'm used to working with.
Does it have do you know what operating system he left on it? Was it Snow Leopard or Lion?
I think it's that Snow Leopard thing.
Okay.
Well, you can find out about it. If you go to click on the Apple icon up in the upper left-hand corner and say about this Mac, it'll tell you what version of the OS it is.
Yeah, it's 10.6, that Snow Leopard. You know what might be interesting, because it actually leans out the operating system a little bit, is you might try putting Lion on it. Lion costs $29. You could get it through the Mac App Store.
Uh-huh.
And it's the latest version of the operating system, and it removes a lot of the code that is required, the shared code that was required to run applications that might be older, so that would run on the older PowerPC Macs, and it makes your Mac a little snappier. So you might want to try that.
But to comment on the it kind of being slow and you're not as comfortable, that's normal, right? So you've used Windows for however long you've used Windows. You're comfortable in that environment. You know how to get around. You know what does what. And trying to find the equivalent of that in a Mac, there's a bit of a curve there. You have to
exactly.
You have to understand where things are stored and how do you access things. And, you know, it's not like you double-click on my computer and off you go. You have to understand that there's a preferences section. There's the Finder. And so it's going to seem clunky at first, kind of like when you got your first computer. And exactly. That's normal. That's, I mean, when I switched from PC to the Mac, there was a bit of frustration, and it just seemed like I wasn't moving as fast. I mean, I could get on a Windows computer and I could do this and that. Got on the Mac, it's like, I'm having to ask questions again. Where do you get this? Where do you get that?
There are some things you can do that can make your Mac more Windows-like, and you may have already figured some of these out, but a couple of them are, if you don't have the Macintosh hard drive on the desktop, and the default in Snow Leopard is to not, that helps a lot. Do you have the Mac, the hard drive icon for the Mac on the desktop?
I really don't know.
Well, if you look on... If you look on the desktop in the upper right-hand corner, if it doesn't say Macintosh HD, you don't. And if you go into the Finder preferences, you can turn that on. And that's like having essentially all of your folders and everything available to you. Once you do that or you open any Finder window, you can take the Applications folder, which is in the left-hand side of the Finder, and drag it and put it on the right-hand side of the dock in the bottom, and then you'll always have your applications available to you. So you can do those two things there, and it makes it a little more Windows-like and a little easier to use. Do you have it set up so if you tap on the touchpad with two fingers, it brings up the right-click menu?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, that helps a lot, too. And so if you
it's a cool-looking machine. It's cool and everything.
Well,
it's
not like you have to give up your other computer to use it. So you have the opportunity to...
It's kind of like learning a different language almost. I mean, it's just it definitely is different.
Well, you should check out Dwight.
I'll throw in the pitch. he won't do it, but I will. Dwight wrote a book about switching to a Mac from PC. And obviously you're not switching, but you're adding it in. And certainly it's full of the kinds of things where it shows what the analog is from the PC world to the Mac world, and that might actually kind of speed up your picking up the Mac side.
It's called Switching to a Mac, No Problem. If you Google for Dwight Silverman on – or just search for Dwight Silverman on Amazon, you'll find the book. And
If Dwight brings one in and we put it as a pledge premium.
Right. Now that you've found our show, if you tune in next week, we're going to be fundraising because we're public radio, and we'll have that as a thank you gift for a certain pledge level. You can pick it up that way and get it autographed.
Yeah, and I'll autograph it for you.
Outstanding. Well, thank you, fellas, for your help.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your call.
Goodbye.
I was just, for reasons I can't quite explain, I decided to check for updates on my MacBook Pro. Software update, even though I updated to 10.7.2 or whatever the latest one is.
Yes.
And there's another update out. There's a Lion Recovery update. They've just put out an update. Lion Recovery update includes improvements to Lion Recovery and addresses an issue with Find My Mac when using a firmware password.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that issue. I had that issue with Find My Mac on this notebook.
Yeah, and it's about a 500 meg update.
The recovery update is?
Yeah, 452.5.
Very strange.
My guess is it must touch a lot of different files, because you think about it.
It's quite.
If the files that it affects are large, it has to have a copy of it. It can't very well just, like, edit the existing file,
Yeah, so I just was surprised by that. I guess that there may be some other updates. I wonder if there's going to be an iOS 5 update in the next. I don't know if I should check.
No, well, there probably will be in about a month. You'll see the first.
Now, how do you do the update over the air? Are they just going to notify you?
There'll be a lot of stories and so
forth. Well, sure, when I did it with the iTunes, I would just click on check for updates, or I can do.
I think what it'll do, it'll be like any like your Android phone. It'll notify you that.
But there's
it's
not
available.
Like a means to go and check for it. I guess you can do it through iTunes.
Actually,
still.
There is. I saw it earlier today. Yes, there's a way in the settings to check for a system update.
That would be kind of useful because, I don't know, maybe not.
It's in there somewhere. I saw it earlier today.
All right. If you find it, let us know. All right. So,
It's under General Software Update. See?
All right.
Checking for updates.
Where's General?
Well, you may not have.
There it is. General Software Update. Checking for update. Your software is up to date. Okay, good. Whew. I just wanted to be reassured. I mean, that update for OS 10 Lion, that was kind of surprising. All right, so we got more people on hold, but we want to give out the phone number, 713 526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. We're taking questions, comments, whatever, about technology. So we invite you to call 713-526-5738. So next up, by the length of the holding, a full 15 minutes. Glenn, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call.
No problem.
It's a great show.
Thank you.
It's hard to hear you. But anyway, what my question is, I make music compilations from my Roxio, and what I would like to do is there any software out there or a disc that I can burn my music on and not have it copied?
What do you mean, not have it?
If I give it to share to somebody and they can't just make 100 copies.
Oh, do you want to protect?
Yeah,
no,
I want to protect the compilation from being copied.
I don't. Is there user based or consumer based DRM? No. I mean, if there was, then you would find that any CD that you bought from the record store would be protected that way. But
yeah,
no.
I heard there's like some DVDs out there that had that function, but I wonder if you guys know of anything.
Not that I know of. I know that there's been some protection put into movies, but if there was a way to protect that, like you would not be able to rip your own CDs because you know the record companies would enable that and protect those discs. The only way to do it is by distributing your music through a third-party service like iTunes.
Oh.
They can protect the songs from, you know, but even then you could still burn to your own disc, right? In iTunes, your music.
Yeah.
So, I was looking for something that on your DVD itself or CD that it had some kind of, or you could encrypt it or something like that.
No, even if you could encrypt it,
the one thing you could do, although eventually once you access it, the files would be, you know, readable and copyable by anybody, but you could wrap it in an encrypted folder.
Yeah.
You know, you could do that and then give it to somebody, but once they opened it and took and to play the files,
they could then,
they
rip
could then
do whatever
make a
they
copy
want.
Of it.
Yeah, so okay, if well, you they'd have to be able to decrypt it to listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, and once they can do that, then they can make copies.
I just want to give it to them and then not be able to just put it in and copy it. And so they can't copy it.
Now,
I think you'd have to buy like an MP3 player and you load the thing on it and then you break the part where you can add or remove the music anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd only be able to listen to it and they couldn't copy it. I'm joking. That's not a good suggestion.
Well, it's a joke.
Hello?
Yeah, is that a joke or is that for real?
Turn your radio down.
I'd say that's more of a joke. I was more joking.
He was kidding around.
You could feasibly do that, but, I mean, essentially, I don't know how useful it would be because a lot of the times the transferring data is the same thing as the charger, and so you'd have to, like, get in and cut little wires inside an MP3 player to break it exactly the way you want.
Okay. Well, maybe I could put a virus in there now. If they copy it, the virus goes in your computer.
Or copy it to one of those Hallmark cards where you record the message, and then they can just open the card, play the song, and then that's all they've got.
That actually, you know, you could conceivably put the music onto a server where it could only be streamed.
Right.
They could listen to it. I mean, there are tools that you could use to copy, you know, to record a stream, but it's more difficult. So you could actually set it up as a broadcast.
Yeah.
Where you could invite people. They could go to it. They could listen to it, but they couldn't necessarily save the file.
Yeah.
But then when they wanted to listen to it in their car, then they could rip the stream, burn it to CD, and listen in their car.
Yeah.
A truly devoted and dedicated person is going to be able to make a copy of it. Now, this assumes that whatever it is that you're making is worth copying.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth copying.
Is it stuff that you've stolen yourself? I mean, is it?
No, I bought it.
Oh, you bought it. Well, see, you shouldn't even be doing it. You shouldn't even be making these compilations and giving them away.
Well,
that's kind of illegal.
Yeah, but...
So you're asking for a way to protect your stuff.
If you give it away, isn't it...
Then why do you care if somebody else is copying it?
Because it's my compilation. It's great. I don't want 100 people copying it.
If
it's not your music that you didn't create, what do you care?
What makes you think your compilations are so awesome that people are going to say, you know what, I'm going to just burn this CD and give away a bunch of
copies? I'll send you one. And you'll see why.
Here's the easiest way to protect
it. Hey, I want you to do that. You can send one to Technology Bites here at the radio station, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006.
Okay, I'll do that.
Let me hear what's so stealable. Okay, and then if it's so great, I'll help you protect it.
Okay, I'll send you one, and you'll be...
I'm not going to be disgusted, am I?
No, it'll be awesome. God dang, how can we keep this from being copied?
Yeah, well, how did it get copied in the first place?
Here's what the deal. You got to tell me what kind of genre you like, because I got it all.
You got it all.
So you got to tell me what kind of your favorite, second, third...
Ethiopian gypsy music.
Okay, I got it.
No. Celtic punk.
Yeah, I got it.
Celtic punk I'm familiar
Celtic
with.
Celtic rock, punk, whatever would be a good one.
Punk rock.
I don't think there's Ethiopian gypsies, though, so you might be out on a limb on that one.
You really like Celtic punk?
I like the Pogues and, you know.
It's Celtic punk.
Yeah.
The Pogues?
Pogues and the Flogging Molly and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, I got something. You'd love it.
Now, you know, it's got to be better than Pandora. Pandora is a radio station that it randomizes music based on a genre and allows you to, you should check it out, pandora.com, because you plug in the name of a band you like, and then it plays you music that it thinks you might like based on that band, and then you can tell it whether you liked it or not. And
it's a pretty
cool
service.
And it will then refine the stream.
Really?
And present you with stuff, and it'll turn you on to new music. It's really quite cool.
I appreciate that.
And free.
And it's hard to copy.
That's right.
Okay. Well, maybe I can learn from them.
There you go.
Yeah, if you have some bands you really like, definitely, go put them into Pandora, create stations based on them, and I bet you'll, unless you're, really, really into a genre that's very small, you'll probably find some bands you haven't heard of that you like.
Well, I've got 63 genres that I have. And like I said, I got it all except country and westerns. You know?
You are missing out on some awesome stuff.
Okay, I'll check it out. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, the awesome compilation maker.
You know, well, I was going to say, maybe he's still listening. You know, one way you can do it that they can't copy is you take and you find all those songs that are for this compilation and you paste them into a text editor and save it as playlist.txt, and then they can listen to it, but they can't copy all your music. Of course, I got to go buy the songs themselves, but because isn't that what his compilation? What the compilation really is? It's a playlist in a particular order.
All right, 713-526-5738. All right, so let me see who we have up next. We have up next, by the length of the holding, Bob in Cyprus. Been holding a while. Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
Cool. Well, as a public service announcement, I was reading my mail while waiting for you to pick up, and it says that my Bank of America debit card has been, security has been blown by a third party, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people getting some mail.
Awesome.
But anyway, got a Motorola phone, Q9 Global, loved it, flawless for 4 years, and it's starting to die. And anyway, I was thinking about three phones. This is kind of a continuation, and then my real problem. I'm thinking about an Apple 4S. I'm thinking about Motorola Atrix, and I'm thinking about the Samsung Galaxy S2. And the predicament I seem to be having, of course, being a loyal Microsoft guy for decades, is I have 3,000 names, addresses, and phone numbers in my Outlook database. And it seems like impossible that you can't get them to an Android phone. And every time I ask somebody from Apple, they say, well, I should add there also to help manage 3,000 names and addresses, I have 100 categories in there where, you don't remember any of your automotive guys until your car breaks, and then you go, oh, crap, what was the mechanic's name? And I, can search on automotive, and then, here's my tire guy, there's my battery guy, there's my engine guy.
And so, obviously, I want to keep all those categories and move 3,000 names.
That kills me about the Android is that the contact functions inside the Android don't seem to support the groups that you can create in Gmail. And it kills me that you can't do that because I would like to be able to take exactly what you're talking about and have groups of contacts.
What you might want to do is you might want to expand your search and look at the new Windows Phone 7.5 phones.
Yeah, I just,
they're,
you know,
excellent.
Accidentally my girlfriend has one and I just upgraded hers to it also, but you've got to be able to get to live.com as I best understand it or something like it, and there is a what they call a Hotmail patch out there, but once again I had so many names and addresses that it's, you know, I made my CSV file and it says this is too big.
Right. Well, right, and if you're not on an Exchange server.
And I'm not.
Yeah, well, what you might, one thing you might try doing is you can actually get an Exchange account. You could get an Exchange account outside of Microsoft. I mean outside of a company. And
you can where?
There are quite a few
really?
Email providers that will provide you with an, and usually it costs, but it's not that expensive. You could debt it enough to move your stuff over to your phone, and then you have it in your phone. iOS will do that, will synchronize out of Outlook, where, you know, directly from it without having to use Exchange.
So I plug what I use their data cable and plug into my USB. Is that how Apple moves
them?
Yep,
at least for you can do it that way. It will now sync wirelessly. What you use iTunes can look at your Outlook database and can pull in the contacts and can sync that way through iTunes.
And then how does that wireless thing, give me a flavor for that.
Well, what you do is there's a page, a button, a setting inside your iPhone. Go to the iPhone. You make sure that your iTunes is connected. The computer with iTunes is connected to your Wi-Fi network. Your iPhone is also connected to the Wi-Fi network. You hit sync wirelessly, and it syncs it up.
Well, sounds like they're making me buy an iPhone.
It's getting close for me, too. I mean, I've wanted to be an Android fanboy, and I just am losing my patience with it. It's just too all over the place. But the iPhone really is making a lot of stuff work a little bit more seamlessly, or a lot more seamlessly.
Yeah, well, there you go. Another cult, you know. I'm finally having to join the cult.
Well, you know, if it's a cult, it's the cult of stuff that works.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and actually, it looks like, I'm just doing a search here, it looks like Android will sync with Outlook.
It will. No, Android will sync with Outlook.
Uh-huh.
So if your revelation of an exchange, a personal Exchange account where you can manage contacts and so forth like that is definitely interesting.
Well, and, you know, I spent a little time down in the Galleria, went to the Apple store and went to the Microsoft store, and, you know, you would think there'd I'd be talking to the best people in the Microsoft store, and they're all going, nope, can't get there from here. Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for your call. All right, wow, the phone lines have lit up like crazy.
Yay!
So let's get moving here because time is running short. Let's see, by length of hold, it looks like Lily, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, sir? This is my first time calling from Houston.
All right.
Well, I have a Nokia N900. My husband gave me this phone like a year ago. And I would like to know what is the future of the software, MIMO.
Nokia is moving to using Windows Mobile or Windows Phone
Windows
software.
7.
It's a Windows phone?
That's what Nokia is moving to.
Moving into Windows.
Right. In other words, all of their future phones are going to be Windows Phone 7 or Windows Phone 7.5 or 8 devices. And so, as I understand it, Nokia is not going to be developing that operating system anymore. So you essentially have an orphan phone. If it works for you and you're happy with it, that doesn't matter that much. I mean, it's not going to quit working, but okay. That's kind of the end of the line for that on Nokia.
What do you recommend me then? Similar to this phone that I have right now, but I mean, the same or better, much better than the one that I have right now.
Well, who's your provider?
T-Mobile.
What is the OS? The OS is MIMO, so I'm not familiar with that, what it does. What do you use the phone for?
Pictures. I like high-quality pictures.
Taking them or seeing them?
Taking pictures.
Taking pictures. Well, yeah. How old is this phone? You've had it about a year?
A year ago, yeah.
It came out. It was announced in 2009, released in November of 2009, so it's getting a little on in age. It's got a lot of storage, though. I do like that 32 gig of internal storage.
Yes, I like the storage.
It's got a nice slide-out keyboard.
Yeah.
There are several Android phones that T-Mobile offers that have slide-out keyboards, big screens, decent cameras. You might head to a T-Mobile store and take a look at some of those. Isn't the MyTouch
The
MyTouch has a keyboard on it.
Yes.
And you can add storage to the Android phones because you could put a memory card in it to increase the amount of storage.
But the MyTouch 4G is a slide phone. It has the keyboard that pops out. It's got a great camera, and it runs on the Android OS. I don't think you're tied to the operating system for your functionality. It sounds like you're using the phone for some very specific things that most phones do. So it will sit, okay. So you're not really...
I like pictures and I like the search the internet.
Yeah.
Watch videos.
The MyTouch 4G slide might be the phone for you.
Okay.
If you feel that you need to change phones right now.
Yes, I want to change it.
Okay. Well, I think it's
the next present that I will get from my husband.
All right. Well, talk to him about going. Maybe you could go to the T-Mobile store before you talk to your husband and look at what they have and play with them and then make your suggestion to him when you go home.
Okay. I'll do that then.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lily.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, so 713-526-5738. I got about 20 minutes left in the show. It's really strange. I'm looking here at Flicted, and due to the reflection in the glass, he has this red and black bowling shirt on. And when I'm looking at him, he has a backwards Apple logo patch on his left breast above the pocket. But he's feeling around. He doesn't see it, but... Flicted with a backwards white Apple logo on his shirt breast there is quite interesting. And the color scheme is great because it's one of those bowling shirts with the black sleeves and the red front panels. And then he's got this white Apple logo right here. Now he's moved it to the other side. You put it right in the middle. Now move.
I'm going for the Iron Man look.
Going for the Iron Man look where you have it like glowing in the middle. Move to your left just about an inch. A little bit more. There you go. Apple Man! I wish I could capture that for a pause. Maybe I could get a picture of that. We'll see. All right, 713-526-5738. Next up, we have Chris. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not much. How are you?
Yeah, I just was listening to y'all earlier talking about Pandora. And I had a conversation with a guy earlier. I know y'all more into the tech side of stuff, but I was wondering, like, some of the other... I've seen, Mog, I think MOG, and they had one like Groove Shark. That's more like those free apps. I was wondering, like free music streaming. I was wondering if y'all had some other ones besides Pandora, some suggestions.
Spotify.
I can tell you the ones I like, which Spotify is just recently come to the U.S. They've been around in Europe for a long time, for a couple of years probably. But they just recently, in the last month or two, are available in the U.S. And it's a similar service to Pandora in some ways. And then, of course, Pandora is also really good. But then there's tons of streaming radio stations where you don't necessarily, pick a song to base it on. You can't do thumbs up, thumb down to pass a song or add things to your own queue. But there's some really nice streaming stations depending on what kind of music you like. My favorites are Soma FM Music.com, which has a lot of really good electronic base stations, although they have a really good alt-country station as well. And DI.FM.
I love DI.
Which is digitally imported.
Yeah.
They have a ton of, it's all electronic music, but, I mean, they have trance, acid, hard style, techno, jungle, drum and bass, 8-bit chip music, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, another one that's kind of interesting, but it's a little bit more designed for social media is Blip.FM.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can actually pick a song and play it. And if you don't subscribe to anybody else's stream, you can actually just type in the name of the song you want to hear, and it'll, you can build playlists using that, and that's all free as well.
Yeah, give you more control over what you want to listen to.
That's correct. Same thing with Spotify. Spotify is a good service that allows you to... although you have to pay for it if you want the actual radio program part where you do.
Well, you can, although they have they've recently had a deal with Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
All right. They have done this deal with Facebook where if you install their app, you could use Spotify for free on their service. The downside to it is that every time you listen to a song using Spotify... It lets everybody know that you listen to that song, which is okay, you know, if you're listening to, you know, songs that you want people to know about. But it does.
But if you're listening to your secret shame.
Right. If you're listening to ABBA, everyone will know.
What's wrong with that? Does that help you at all, Chris?
Yeah, it was very helpful. I didn't listen to the whole show. Let me see if I can sneak one more question in on you. What's going on with my BlackBerry?
they're having a little retrofit. They've taken out the service which was working and replaced it with one that doesn't. They're coming back online. We were just reading that they've been down for the last 3 days or so. It started off
outside of the U.S.
And then it hit Canada and the United States today with their outage. But I'm hearing reports that it's coming back up. So it looks like it'll be back online maybe tomorrow or the next day.
Yes, I don't know that the U.S. ever really had a full outage as much as they're having delays and some issues, but there were some other parts of the world where I think it was out today.
We had people that were not getting email. Our BlackBerry server's choking because it can't deliver mail to these devices, and people with new devices that are trying to activate on the BlackBerry Enterprise server are not able to activate it is. Although I'm surprised that I've not heard from more people, although the plus side is that a lot of our sales critters are at a user conference, so maybe they just can't get online with whatever.
They can't talk to you to complain.
They can't get online to complain. Yeah.
Is it possible that it was some kind of like hacker attack?
No, they have said it was not a hacking attempt. It was an issue where one set of servers failed and their backup servers didn't catch it. They wound up getting such a huge backlog of sent messages that it clogged the whole system.
And that's because they wouldn't really tell us if it was anyway. Huh? They wouldn't want us to know.
They probably would not admit to a hack, but they also wouldn't come up with a fake reason.
They're a public company, and they pretty much, this is a material event, and they would have to tell you the truth.
They'd have to disclose.
They'd get in big trouble.
Okay, so I've been corrected.
So. Yeah, because they have so much redundancy going on. I mean, I just can't understand how it could.
This has happened before with BlackBerry. You know, one of the issues with RIM and the way RIM works is that with most other phones, your email just goes straight through your ISP or straight through the carrier. Mm-hmm. With RIM, there's another layer of systems. Mm-hmm. And they use this to encrypt and make it secure, but the problem is...
Everything must go through RIM.
Everything must go through RIM, and so it's a point of failure. And if RIM fails, then your entire communication system is down.
Although companies like that, because they can choke point
right.
any device.
Right. But, again, this has happened before with RIM. They've had this happen before, so it's a risk with this type of design.
We can look forward to a lot more of the RIM job jokes.
That's the first one I've heard.
Or you could get an iPhone.
Oh, or Android, huh?
You have all kinds of options, you know?
If anybody can RIM you.
None of it's going to matter when the grid fails and electricity goes away. It's not going to matter.
When are we going to start buying canned goods or what?
You should be doing that. You should have done that a long time ago.
And then after it happens, go to Atlanta.
Specifically to the CDC.
To the CDC in Atlanta.
All right. Thanks for your call, Chris. Good luck.
Walking Dead nerd jokes.
Yeah, I'm sure that went over well. I actually got it. Took me a second. Oh, I get it now. Yes. Thank you. All right. Well, we're kind of winding down, but not really. There's about 11 minutes left. I don't know that this next call is going to take that time. Of course, he's got a Barrett question.
He was calling over Google. Over
Google Voice,
Gmail, or through Google Chat.
All right.
So he was cutting out when
you were talking to
him. When I was talking to him. So I don't know how this will go.
713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, 713-526-KPFT. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. All the lines except for this one are open. So feel free to call in. We're going to go to George. You're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good. All right. Ubuntu have kind of a two-layer question, but it should be simple. First one.
The question would be a lot simpler if we could actually hear you.
Oh.
You're cutting out a little bit.
Okay. Is it not worth the time?
We'll try it. Let's go for it.
Okay. I'm AMD 3000 Plus 64 processor. I recently installed the Ubuntu 11.11 Narwhal. It just keeps crashing just all the time. When it works, it's great, but just cuts in and out. And also your thoughts on Ubuntu in general. And, just short and sweet, please.
When it crashes,
that's my question.
When it crashes, what do you mean? Does the screen freeze up and you can't move anything? Or is it that it kernel panics?
Exactly.
Okay, it freezes up.
No, so it freezes.
It freezes, yes.
Okay, are you sure that it's the OS and not hardware?
I'm entirely sure. Now, I previously had XP on this computer flawlessly, but the drive got corrupted.
Is it a name brand computer, or is it one that you built?
No, it's not. I built it, but it's not a name. Someone built it. It's
okay.
Very capable. It has 3 gigs memory, and great with XP.
Okay, because I was going to say, I had just, and this is because this recently happened to me, I have a Fedora system that I've been running. It ran fine for a long time. I never had problems with it crashing, and then suddenly it started crashing. This is a Dell system, and it got to the point where I could boot it up. It would boot up fine. I would be able to log in, and then within a few minutes of me doing stuff, it would freeze, completely freeze. And when I actually, at some point, set it down and pulled the top, and I should have expected this because Dells do this or have done this in the past, some of the capacitors had popped, which Dells was known for that happening for a number of years, although I didn't think it was happening recently, but that's what had happened. So I replaced it with the exact same Dell system, took the hard drive out, took everything out, just basically put it all in a new system, motherboard system.
Right.
And it works fine. So it actually was a hardware problem and not software or drive or anything else.
Okay. That's a possibility.
So that's why, just because it happened recently to me, that's why I would suggest it. Although there definitely are situations where X Windows will freeze up. Like if it doesn't have a driver that works real well with that specific video card or something like that, you can have problems with X Windows freezing up. But, I mean, personally, I would say if you're going to go with a Linux distribution, I think Ubuntu is probably one of the better ones, especially for an end-user desktop system. They tend to have
getting stuff into it. I've been doing XP all the time, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, because it's a put-together PC, you don't have a lot of support from the Ubuntu community for, you know, making sure that you have driver packages for all the hardware that you're using. So it can be a little bit more troublesome to troubleshoot.
But the Ubuntu community is pretty good about answering questions. I mean, if you get on the Ubuntu forums, they're pretty good.
Yeah, so you can tell them what kind of video card you have, what motherboard you're using, what chipset you're using, and see if they recommend any patches for that. You also might try just taking out some of the RAM. Maybe run, if I don't, is it 3 1-gig chips, or is it, how's your memory configured?
Oh, you know what? The total is 3, and I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if there's 3 sticks in there.
Well, because it might be that you just have bad memory, and you could take memory out and start playing with it, but it takes some troubleshooting to figure that out. If it's 3 1-gig chips, you could try taking one out and running it for a while on 2 gigs and see if it locks up. If it does, put that chip back, take another one out, run it for a while, try to isolate it, because I've had lockups like that that are symptomatic of bad memory. And it may be that Windows XP never got into the bad memory space, but maybe Ubuntu is finding its way into it.
Yeah, bad memory can definitely also cause freezes like that.
Oh, that's very good info, guys.
All right,
well, thank you much. I know you got more.
All right, well, good luck to you, sir. Thanks for your call.
All right, man.
That was a little painful with the dropouts.
It seemed like it got less dropouts as time went on.
Got less dropouts as we did more talking.
Bad memory can cause dropouts in Google Voice, too. So.
I thought it was kind of funny. He was saying that his computer was like
locking up and
dropping out and freezing sometimes. And that's what the.
And so are you.
I'm like, are you doing this from this OS? Is that what's happening on the phone call?
Well, there goes the phone line. You want to just take it cold? So we could do that, right? We got enough time. Real quick, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny you were saying that his computer was like locking up.
It's me. I called the station.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Hello? Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
Oh, wow. I went straight to bed, yeah?
You did. We decided.
Okay, I've got an iMac, and I've had a problem of getting the spinning wheel of death, and we thought that it might be RAM related, so I changed out the RAM. That's not it. I changed out the operating system, did a clean install, then later I did a full install.
Wow, it's still doing it? Thing. Don't have a quick answer for you for that. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. But
if you've done a clean install, it's probably some kind of hardware issue. I'd get it to the Genius Bar.
Get it to the Genius Bar and talk to one of those Apple guys. All right, good luck to you. We are out of time here on Technology Bites. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll appreciate you tuning in next week when we go into fundraising mode. Really, we want you to be there. Share our joy.
Because we have to be there.
All right. Stick around for more great programming on this radio station. You've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Dwight.
And that's all of us. Hopefully we'll have the crew back next week. See you later.
Saturday, October 15th, KPFT invites you to our concert fundraiser. It features World Beat Band direct from Austin, Atash. Radical folk singers David Rovics and Tori Mercer will be there, as will Houston's own Pinoy Afrobeat group, The Presidents, and classical Persian ensemble Shakaba. $20 gets you in the door to experience this unique mix of sounds. All the proceeds will go to benefit KPFT. It's going to be going down at Dan Electro's Guitar Bar in the Heights, Saturday, October 15th. The music starts at 7 p.m. and goes on till late. Go to kpft.org for more details on the performers. I'll see you there. This is KPFT Houston.
Saturday, October 22nd, Pug Hearts of Houston is hosting our third annual Pugs at Blanco's event to raise funds for Pug Rescue. If you love dogs, and pugs in particular, you won't want to miss this event. Enjoy great barbecue, raffles, silent and live auctions. Plus, meet dozens of Pug Hearts foster dogs who are ready and waiting to be adopted by that special someone. Maybe that's you. For more information and to see pictures and bios of all the Pug Hearts pugs, visit pugharts.com. Pug Hearts of Houston is a 501c3 nonprofit charity dedicated to giving abandoned and neglected pugs a second chance by finding them forever homes. So have a heart and lots of fun at Blanco's, 3406 West Alabama, Saturday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. Get advance tickets on our website, pugharts.com. Hope to see you all there. This is 90.1 KPFT, Houston.